Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino.
Ngayong umaga, hihimayin din natin ang ilang hamon sa mga magulang na bahagi ng SBS podcast series na My Bilingual Family. Makakasama natin ang very proud Ilocano, ang academic book author at podcast host ng My Bilingual Family na si Elaine La Fortesa. Sisimulan na natin ang ating pakikipag-usap sa ating kababayan at si Dr. Elaine La Fortesa kung saan ibabahagi niya sa atin ang kanyang naging bahagi dito sa SBS podcast series na My Bilingual Family, kung saan tinatalakay nito ang mga hamon para sa mga magulang na mula sa iba't ibang kultura o yung mga mag-asawa na may magkaibang kultura. Halimbawa, kung ikaw ay Filipino at ang asawa mo ay Australian, paano mo nga ba maituturo ang iyong kultura, lalong-lalo ng iyong wika sa iyong mga anak, lalo na kung ang iyong kapareha ay English lamang ang alam na wika. So yan ang mga hamon na patuloy na tinatalakay ng SBS podcast series na My Bilingual Family na inyong maaaring mapakinggan sa pamamagitan ng SBS podcast. At sabi nga ay eto na, ratsyada na tayo sa ating kwentuhan kasama si Elaine La Fortesa.
Ang pangalan ko ay Elaine La Fortesa. Bulol ako sa Tagalog, so I'm gonna move on to Ilocano. agyaman akong adaka ditoy, agsasauak di Ilocano, naganas talaga to be able to speak in Ilocano and to speak to everyone.
Yan ang tinig ni Dr. Elaine La Fortesa, isang academic book author, playwright at ngayon ay isa na ring podcast host para sa podcast series ng SBS na My Bilingual Family. Isang podcast na tumatalakay sa mga hamon ng pagpapalaki ng mga bata na mula sa mga pamilya na may pinagmulang magkakaibang kultura o yung tinatawag na bilingual family o mga bata na ang mga magulang ay mula sa dalawang magkaibang kultura. Si Elaine ay may dalawang anak at sakto ang kanyang pagtanggap na maging host ng My Bilingual Family Podcast dahil ang munting pamilya ni Elaine ay maituturing na bilingual. Si Elaine na ang pinagmula na Ilocano at ang kanyang mister na si Liam ay purong Australiano. Pero tulad ng ibang pamilya na may dalawa o higit pang kulturang kinagisna ng mga magulang, hangad ni Elaine na maimulat sa kulturang Pilipino ang kanyang mga anak at lumaki ang dalawang anak na matutunan o kahit paano ay maintindihan ng kanyang kinalakihang wika, ang dialektong Ilocano.
It's fitting for you because you're a bilingual parent yourself, di ba? Having been born in the Philippines with your mom na very Ilocano talaga.
Oh, Ilocano.
Yeah.
Ilocano me.
So, talagang tamang-tama sa'yo ang My Bilingual Family and you were also able to share your own experience as a mom.
Yes, that's what makes this project extra special for me because I was able to share those aspects of my life and I've never been kind of allowed to in a professional context. And there's a moment in the podcast where I say, in my professional life, I've never asked to speak Ilocano, right? To me, that's a really personal, intimate family language, but I only speak it with my family or even rarely with other Filipinos. We wouldn't speak Ilocano. We would default to English or maybe even Filipino, but Ilocano really, really rare. So to have that validated and to be given a platform, it brought me to tears. I actually cried saying those words, and I'm kind of tearing up now because it was really powerful for me. And yeah. I was able to share my mom's voice as well and also my children's too.
Yeah, and siguro ganun din para sa maraming Ilocano na nandito sa Australia.
Won. Whenever I do meet another Ilocano person, we get really excited because, you know, there's that initial recognition. Oh, we're both Filipino. Oh, that's cool, blah, 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 blah. And then I marunong ka mag-Tagalog and I always say, hindi bulol ako, pero amok ag Ilocano. And then if they say, ay, Ilocano akmot, kunak, ay, Ilocano gayam, ay, nagganasan.
Yeah.
So it's like a mini reunion, mini party. And because it's not as common, I suppose. So it's always a celebration.
At gaya nga ng layunin ng My Bilingual Family Podcast na maibahagi sa bawat magulang na may magkakaibang kultura na hindi kayo nag-iisa sa inyong pinagdadaan ng dilema o mga hamon pagdating sa kung paano ninyo tuturuan ang inyong mga anak ng inyong sariling wika. Narito ay binahagi ni Elaine ng ilan sa mga madalas na hamon para sa mga bilingual family.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly true, Annalyn. And we really are not alone because all of the parents, especially the mums who we contacted and spoke with, they all said mum guilt. Am I doing enough? Am I doing too much? Am I too strict? Do I need different schedules? No one didn't have that, if that makes sense. Everyone had the mum guilt. So that was a common dilemma about teaching mother tongue, their mother tongue, and also the fact that perhaps their mother tongue is not the dominant language in the household as well as in the country. So they would have to consider, okay, what resources can I actually do and I actually have to support my kids learning this language? What support do I have in doing this? Because the community I may live in may not even understand what I'm saying, or my parents or family live overseas. And especially with the pandemic, that became harder because parents couldn't come over to help. But in saying that, a lot of families pivoted and there were lots of online over Zoom or FaceTime and so on, like play dates. And as you hear the episodes go through, one of them actually talks about international or transnational play dates with grandparents speaking to their grandkids and using games and toys to facilitate that bilingual language learning too. But definitely that mum guilt is one of the main dilemmas. Another dilemma was that a lot of mums in general, and a lot of parents, I should say, but it was mostly mums who came to us with this concern, is there's this magical number, age two, where we expect kids to be pretty good or getting there with their language abilities. But there's this anxiety that if they've reached the age of two and they don't have that language capacity yet, especially in a bilingual household, is it because we're confusing them or we're talking too many languages and should we just focus on one? And usually it's, do we just focus on English? But what I've learned and what we all learned really through the podcast is that it's only because kids are trying to contend with different language systems. So their brains are actually just working harder, working out more, I suppose, to figure out what the language system is. And it's actually a myth that kids being brought up in bilingual or multilingual households are delayed in speech as opposed to monolingual households. So that's a myth. And that was great to hear, because before the podcast, I was in the same situation as one of the moms, who's Maram. And Maram is actually a producer for SBS Arabic 24. Really identified with her because she said, you know, her kid around age two, they were quite concerned because the language they thought, Maram and her husband thought, was quite delayed or slow. And I was feeling the same with my son, who's also age two now. And I thought, because I spoke to him a lot in Ilocano and English, because I really wanted him to understand. And I stopped doing that because I thought, oh, he's not really speaking anything.
It's like you're thinking he's confused.
Yeah. And I just thought, I'm not sure if he knows how to respond. But as with the advice that we got from experts and also other parents who are quite persistent and also consistent with teaching a different language, their mother tongue, I started doing that again. And I don't want to give it away, but I will say the results in the podcast at the final episode. But all I will say is that I was very glad I did, because he understands and he actually speaks back to me in both languages, so Ilocano and English.
Mm. You know, Elaine, when my child was 1 year old, I actually consulted with a GP and asked him, should I just teach my son English or should I also teach him Filipino? And the GP actually said that kids have this brain that are like sponge. They absorb everything, which is quite true in your first episode, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. And we do hear that across the whole series that kids' brains are sponges, especially in those early years where they soak up all of this around them. But we might not see it presented until maybe months later or maybe even years later, but it's there, it's percolating. And we also hear throughout the podcast that the brain is a muscle that needs to be exercised. So in able to get that exercise with bilingualism, we need to provide that context and that support to scaffold it, to make it work out pretty much. And I thought that's too much working out. But
yeah. But is there any other dilemma that you wanted to add?
Not really a common dilemma, I suppose, or perhaps it's more common than we assume. But I was especially moved with the mums who came to us with additional challenges, like the anonymous mum who wrote in a letter about how her mother tongue is really triggering for her because it brings up childhood and ongoing trauma. So then when they try to pass on their mother tongue, that comes up. So how do they keep going? Because they really do want to pass on their mother tongue to their kids. And another mum also spoke about having a child with additional needs too and how to support that in terms of language learning. So those for me were really interesting and really important to showcase and to take the time to actually think through these challenges, because I think a lot of people may have those challenges, but we don't often talk about them.
Ibinahagi rin ni Elaine ang sarili niyang hamon pagdating ng pagtuturo ng Ilocano sa kanyang dalawang anak na medyo karaniwan din sa mga pamilyang Pilipino dito sa Australia na dito na ipinanganak at lumaki ang kanilang mga anak.
Marami sa mga Filipino parents, madalas kinakausap nila mga anak nila in Filipino. They speak to their children in Filipino. But most children answer in English. And I've actually witnessed some families, Filipino families, na ganito yung sitwasyon, ano. Based on your experience, now that you've restarted teaching your two-year-old son, Ilocano, what were your personal challenges in that sense?
Oh, I completely get what you're saying, because that used to really frustrate me with both my older one who was 5 and my youngest who was 2. Because I would speak to them in Ilocano and they would, Violet in particular, my 5-year-old, would respond in English. And I'll say, "Handata a Ilocano. What is it in Ilocano? Don't speak to me in English." And sometimes I'd pretend not to understand. And I'd say, "Ano?" like "Ano ba yan?" And I'd also revert to Tagalog. And she would tell me again in English. And I'd insist I wouldn't understand. But she would say to me, "Mommy, I know you understand this because you've spoken to me before." And I'm like, "Oh, I don't know how to be."
And then you lost it.
And then I lost it. I'm like, because it gets really, you know, especially with sleep deprivation and all the things that happen with being a parent. Sometimes you're just so tired at the end of the day and you just want them to eat their food. You just want them to pick up their toys. But those are some of the challenges. But I realized doing this podcast and also what the experts were saying is that that's actually really cool that when you speak to them in your language and they respond in English, they've indicated that they understand you. So you've actually taught them. And for some reason, I didn't understand that until it was told to me like that. And so I'm not too fussed about it now. If they answer back in English, I'm like, "Oh, well, you did understand. Okay, cool."
Yeah. But for you, it's quite different. Like you were talking about my bilingual family, but for you, it will be multilingual because there's English, Filipino, and our dialect, Ilocano. So... Yes. But for you, you decided to teach Ilocano particularly, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. It's also because it's the language I know the most. Aside from English, Ilocano is the language I speak. And Filipino is really the language that I stumble over and also that I only speak with other Filipinos. Until I find out they know Ilocano, then I'm speaking Ilocano. So I'm not confident in teaching Filipino, although I do, because a lot of the resources are in Filipino, and I also want to be better at it. So when I'm teaching my kids, I'm also actually teaching myself. So I've gotten these children's books with like simple Filipino, because there's so much more of them than Ilocano books. So inevitably, I'm also passing on Filipino. And because I was brought up in that multilingual setting too, so it was Filipino, Ilocano, or Taglocano, really.
Yeah.
Like my mum and I speak that, and sometimes I don't actually know if I'm speaking Tagalog or Ilocano until my mum says, oh, that was actually Tagalog. I'm like, oh, I always thought that was Ilocano. So it's because we just speak all of them.
Pero ano nga bang ilang paraan para makatulong sa mga magulang na nagtuturo ng bilingual o dalawang wika sa kanilang mga anak? Narito ang pahayag ni Elaine.
One of the main things is to find those different communities of support. So that's either through an online community, especially with COVID. So talking online with family members or finding social networks that are specifically about bilingual child rearing too. So some parents would have done that. Other parents go to experts themselves. So either consult speech pathologists to help them with their language, you know, language learning. But just a bit of advice here, there could be a lot of searching around for a speech pathologist who specializes in bilingual child rearing, because at the moment it's more focused on, okay, you have these speech issues that you need help with, but it's from that monolingual mindset. But when parents do find that, then they feel supported as well. Also finding resources like books and games, online games too, as well as physical, you know, what's the opposite of online? Offline.
Offline.
Offline. Yeah. Pre-Zoom games. So these kinds of resources have really supported parents in, you know, child rearing and language development. And if they don't have that, they create their own resources. We've got Katarina, who we speak with in a later episode of My Bilingual Family, and she's quite creative about how she makes up games and how she interacts with her kids when she tries to teach them Greek. And I love that attitude, because what she's pointing out is that you have to meet them at their level. So you have to make it fun. You can't make it like a chore. I know at times I may make Ilocano a chore for my kids and they're really resistant. And sometimes I just want to push through. But Katarina reminded me that, yeah, you've got to meet them at their level. And if it's a chore, then they're most likely not going to want to do it with joy, right?
Yeah. At bukod sa paghahanap ng mga online resources at ibang mga gamit na pwedeng magamit sa inyong pagtuturo sa mga anak, para sa mga tulad niyang nanay o mga magulang na nagpuporsige sa pagtuturo sa kanilang mga anak ng kanilang sariling wika, narito pa ang dagdag na payo ni Elaine Lafortesa.
Oh, my advice would be, and I'm getting this from one of the experts we talked with, Dr. Onika Hotosh, and she's from UNSW, and she said it's actually great to have expectations. Because if we don't have those expectations, we have nothing to work towards. Even if you think, okay, these expectations are quite hard, and maybe they will be, but to be flexible around those expectations, it's still good to have some, so to work towards. Otherwise, we'll get too tired or too lazy and we won't have a kind of structure, I suppose. So my advice would be exactly that, to have some expectations, to have some sort of, I guess, agenda going into it about what you want to see, what you want to do, but also be flexible about it. So it doesn't have to be, okay, if I have to do 2.5 hours of teaching my kids Mandarin or Greek or Filipino, and if I don't do that, oh my gosh, I've failed. No, that's fine. There's always different ways in which to incorporate that language learning. I think about it like incidental exercise. You can incidentally teach your kids, with me, for example, Ilocano. So I can say, even when we're playing like hide and seek, I'll count in Ilocano, like my sad, then I'll try and find the kids going, ay, awan ka ditoy, oh, you're not here. Awan ka ditoy, so like that, because they're invested in your voice right now because they don't want to be found. And so they're really hearing you. But, and if it's Ilocano, they'll have to understand that. And also incidentally, like, ay, awan ten dijay sapatos ko, like when I'm finding my shoes or something, like those things that aren't really teaching them, but they're so incidental to our lives that I just say it, and they get used to those kind of remarks being dropped in that language. So it just becomes part of their everyday. So yes, have expectations, but be flexible about them, and also make sure to pat yourself on the back for those achievements of even trying. right? And I think a good advice would be, and that I've taken on board, is to find those communities of support, because you're not alone. And if you feel like you are, why not start your own community and see who will join and who will follow? And that's what one of my producers, Sheila, actually did. And she co-established a Facebook group for Vietnamese bilingual families. And that's had so many people join, and it's been such a great resource for those families.
At syempre, hindi ka dapat ma-stress sa pagtuturo, di ba?
Yes, yeah. I think that's really important. Even though there will always be stress, I think, anything to do with raising kids. But a lot of the advice also that was given to parents throughout our podcast is, you know, there are times when you need to go easy on yourself and think you're doing the best that you can do in the situation that you're in. And it's hard. It's hard work in a country like Australia, where our languages might not be as valued as just speaking English. And so the default, the easy thing to do is just to speak English. But what we want to do is try to maintain that culture and heritage, which can be really hard work. But to me, I think it's super rewarding.
At yan ang pagtalakay ni Elaine Lafortesa sa My Bilingual Family Podcast, kung saan ipinabahagi nito ang iba't ibang hamon na nararanasan ng mga magulang, at syempre paano nga ba mareresolba ng mga magulang ang mga hamon na ito pagdating sa pagtuturo ng sariling wika sa kanilang mga anak.
Share, mag-comment, sundan ang SBS Filipino sa Facebook.